Good morning, everyone. I am Gina Puglisi, and I'm the Vice President of the Premier Safety Institute, and I'd like to welcome all of you to the 2010 Governance Conference, our breakout session on sustainable and safe healthcare return on investment. And we are absolutely delighted to have with us today Susan Vickers from Catholic Healthcare West and Christine Ayers from Cleveland Clinic Foundation, and we will be hearing about how they have implemented sustainable and safe health care and how they've been able to save their organization money as well in the process. And before I introduce our speakers, I'd like to tell you just a little bit about the Premier Green Healthy Program and what we are doing. The green and sustainable health care environment is really becoming part of all of the corporate strategies, whether it's in health care or non-health care. And a recent global survey of CEOs on the topic of sustainability found that more than 75% of them are considering this as part of their overall corporate strategy. I think the leaders are now recognizing that this is part of a corporation's social responsibility, as well as helping to reduce the public impact of the business operations on the environment and to help reduce costs as well. The next slide has a representation of our Green Healthy Program. This is Premier's award-winning environmental leadership platform, and it has three components. We have an environmental purchasing program to help our members choose suppliers and products that are environmentally friendly compared to alternative products. The Yes to Green program, which is our corporate-wide internal initiative, what Premier is doing to actually make a green and sustainable business operations. And thirdly, Sphere, our collaborative energy program to help our hospitals reduce their carbon footprint. The next slide is the Premier Safety Institute. It's the front page of our website, and this is where we have most of our resources and tools for our hospitals for our programs on safety. We have worker safety, patient safety, environmental safety, and all of our green and sustainable initiatives are housed on this website, and it's a publicly accessible website at premierinc.com/safety. Lots of tools and resources, as I mentioned, on not only the safety topics, but the green topics, for example, environmental purchasing, how to choose greener computers, risks associated with DEHP and products, and even things about greener design. The next slide is just an example of some of the tools and resources we have. One of them is an executive scorecard that we developed with input and advice from our CEOs. They wanted a high-level assessment of an organization of where they're at sort of on the spectrum so they could benchmark where they were at over time and compare themselves. And so we developed the CEO scorecard. It's a four-page scorecard. You can download it and use it to rank where your organization is at. We also have a GreenLink newsletter where we have about 18,000 subscribers. All of our newsletters are free, as well as all the access to our website. And all of the issues for our newsletters are archived on our website so that when they're sent out electronically, if you don't have time to read them, you can delete the email and always go to our website and pull them up. The next slide shows our Sphere Energy program, and this is just a screenshot of one of our programs in the educational portion of that. Our Sphere Energy program is really trying to help our hospitals reduce their energy use, increase their purchase of renewable, and help them to become more energy efficient, all ultimately to reduce their carbon footprint. And we also have a competitive electronic procurement process to help them save money when they purchase electricity and hopefully purchase at a lower cost some green and renewable energy as well. This slide just shows the audio conference series that we have had. We have five programs in the series. You can download the programs. And they talk about different ways you can increase your efficiency or save money with energy efficiency or energy reduction strategies. And, for example, Geisinger talks about how they can save $3 million, how they save $3 million annually with, even though they've doubled their campus size and some of the strategies they use to implement that. Catholic Healthcare West in this series also talks about their renewable energy program with recycling methane gas waste and using that for their renewable energy. So the next slide shows the card that Premier used for our internal corporate program. It's called our Yes to Green Pledge, and this is a pledge that we had, a program that we had last year to get our employees to sign on to some of the green initiatives, and we had nearly 90% of our employees agreed to the five things that are listed on this pledge, replacing four light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs, pledging to take at least one car trip and replace that car trip with walking or bicycling, turning off the water when they're brushing their teeth, caring for a plant or a tree, and using reusable shopping bags. And what we did was quantify what would be the total impact if all of our employees did this, which made a huge impact on our employees in terms of signing on. For example, if all of the Premier employees turned off their water while they were brushing their teeth, individually it would save 4 gallons, but together it would save nearly 1.5 million gallons of water, enough to fill 168 Olympic-sized swimming pools. We've had a lot of requests from hospitals to actually see what this Yes to Green Pledge card looked like, so we've created a special section of our website with these tools on it, like the pledge card, that hospitals can use and use them and download them and adapt them to their own individual organizations. I now have the pleasure of introducing our two speakers today. We have Sister Susan Vickers from Catholic Healthcare West, and Catholic Healthcare West is an integrated healthcare delivery system, and they have facilities in California, Arizona, and Nevada. And Sister Susan Vickers is responsible for directing and overseeing their system-wide community benefits initiative, as well as their corporate social responsibility and all of their ecology programs. She's been very active with community health work, and she serves on the board of a number of organizations, including Practice Green Health and Partners for a Common Good Loan Fund, as well as the Mercy Investment Programs. And she's going to share with us the journey of Catholic Healthcare West and how they have been able to not only save the environment and have safer healthcare, but actually get some return on their investment. Our second speaker this morning is Christina Ayers Vernon, and she is the Senior Director of Sustainability and Environmental Strategy at Cleveland Clinic in their Office for a Healthy Environment. And she leads the sustainability initiatives across this complex health organization, which spans Northeast Ohio and has a presence in Florida, Las Vegas, and even Abu Dhabi. They have a workforce of nearly 40,000 and a building portfolio of over 23 million square feet. And they've made a corporate-wide commitment to promoting healthy buildings and their healthy operations and improved purchasing practices, and how they've been able to find champions and innovators just about every corner of the organization. Christina is an active individual in healthcare organizations, including serving on the board of the Northeast Ohio chapter of the U.S. Green Building Coalition. So we are absolutely delighted to have them here today and share their journeys. And please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Sister Susan Vickers. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning to really just share with you CHW's approach to sustainability over the last decade or so. I'd like to highlight the return on investment that we've gotten in two particular areas, supply chain and energy conservation. That's a popular topic these days. And then finally, just share some of the resources that have been really helpful for us and a little bit of what we've learned over the years. Just a little background on CHW. If you run through those figures, you see that we have all the joys and challenges of being big and operating in 5 of the 10 most impacted areas in the United States for mortgage foreclosure. So very challenging times for us. And you can see that $1.2 billion community benefit and charity care, that does include the Medicaid care and Medi-Cal or Medicaid shortfalls, but it's the first time we've gone over the billion-dollar mark, and it's a 24% increase over last year. so pretty astounding figures. The system was actually formed in 1986, but some of our hospitals have been serving their communities since the mid-1800s. And we're a mixture of Roman Catholic religious hospitals and community-sponsored hospitals that come together under a common mission and a set of core values. So let's start with some definitions. When we think of sustainability, we come at it with a broad perspective, a triple bottom line, as it were, and certainly quality patient care is foremost, delivered in a way that promotes patient, worker, and environmental safety, and at a cost that's affordable to the individual and to society. So we started our environmental commitment in 1996, and I know you can't read all of those. I just wanted to show you that it's really a path with a lot of steps along the path. What was key for us was that environmental commitment. We're founded by, or we have, seven sponsoring congregations of women religious. Each of the seven had some kind of commitment to Earth in their mission statements, constitutional directives. And at the same time, in the mid-90s, we had a growing number of employees who were doing recycling at home and wanted to bring it to work, where they recognized they could have far more impact if they could jump on top of the hospital's waste stream. So our board of directors in 1996 did make a formal endorsement of the series principles, which are a code for environmental responsibility, and with it comes a commitment to doing an annual publicly available report, and that's the report that Gina mentioned is on our website and linked on Premier's website. The first thing we did was certainly to look at our waste streams and to start to do recycling of everything from cardboard, glass, plastic, blue wrap. But not too far into the endeavor, we realized we really need to go upstream and take a look at what we're purchasing. And so we made the choice to try to purchase fewer single-use items. And one of our most successful initiatives is with Ascent, and it's the reprocessing of surgical equipment. And you can see here over the last 3 years, we've actually been doing this longer than 3 years. We had a slower start, but we've really taken off, saving over $6 million in fiscal 2009. So very significant savings for our health system at a very critical time. And what's especially important is not only does Ascent give us the cost-saving information, they also track the environmental savings. So over 160,000 pounds of waste diverted from the landfill as a result of this program. On the energy side, we realize that climate change is really the most pressing public health problem we face as a nation, as a world. And so we put some goals together for energy reduction. We have a three-phase program. The first phase is operational energy efficiency. And what we do in this phase is to partner with an energy provider like PG&E, Southern California Edison, et cetera. They come into the facility. They study and assess the equipment that's in use. They find ways to make it more energy efficient. And we're able to report out the results in terms of electric reductions, natural gas reductions, carbon reductions. The equivalency of what that carbon reduction is. In this case, it's the equivalency of taking 240 automobiles off the road, automobiles that would be driven 20,000 miles per year at 25 miles per gallon. We had to pay for the program to the tune of $180,000 with some additional maintenance costs of $65,000, but the overall savings are $265,000 per year going forward for as long as the equipment lasts. That kind of reporting, where we have the energy reductions, the carbon emission reductions, the cost and the savings, is what we're striving for in all of our reporting, in an effort to put this kind of data in front of our major decision makers so they're thinking in these terms as they're making decisions. Second phase is a capital energy conservation program. And again, this one is St. Bernardine's Hospital in San Bernardino. The first one was California Hospital in Los Angeles. Again, we're looking at what kind of electricity reduction do we get, natural gas, carbon, the equivalencies. In this case, we did have to invest over $773,000 in the purchase of equipment, but we have a $210,000 savings in energy purchase going forward for as long as that new equipment lasts. And then the third one is renewable energy. And the people that work on this tell me they want to achieve as much energy efficiency as they can before they move to renewable energy projects, lest they're working on renewable energy at a far greater scale than needs to be. This is Marion Medical Center, which is on the Central Coast in California, Santa Maria, and it's kind of a dream project. The hospital is a direct line about less than 2 miles to the landfill. There's an easement that they own. They're able to strike a deal with a third-party developer who put in $2.9 million investment to put in the necessary equipment to capture the methane that was just flaring off the landfill. And it is now being used to supply almost 90% of the hospital's energy needs. Giving us, we have a long-term energy contract with the project. And it is renewable as well. And we're garnering $280,000 a year in savings with, again, the electricity reductions, carbon reductions, et cetera, at no real extra cost for us. There are some other returns on investment that are not quite as quantifiable, but nonetheless worth mentioning. And it's very clear to me in the kind of feedback we get from employees that they really take pride in knowing that they're working for an organization that takes ecology seriously. We've been able to use our environmental initiatives to engage various stakeholders in our community on common projects, in reviewing our annual sustainability report. We have a team that will take a look at that, and it includes representatives from some of our suppliers like Baxter, union reps, environmental organizations, et cetera. A good way to connect with the community. Certainly, we've achieved a reputation for corporate responsibility and leadership in this area. And it's just wonderful to see how many health systems are moving in the same direction and the kind of collaboration that we can do going forward, especially Cleveland Clinic. Our reputation is enhanced, and there's no doubt that our mission is advanced. It's all about incorporating environmental processes and practices into the work we do on a daily basis to heal those who come to us. A couple of resources that have been very helpful to us. Gina mentioned Practice Green Health. They are a membership organization with remarkable tools, resources, technical assistance, the real nuts and bolts of getting involved in greening your hospital. Healthcare Without Harm is an international coalition of advocacy groups really working to green the whole healthcare sector. Ceres, the organization that brings together corporations as big as General Motors, Sunco, environmental groups, Natural Resources Defense Fund, a variety of them, and socially responsible investors to really pursue sustainable economies in a way that enhances that triple bottom line. And the Global Reporting Initiative is really a godchild of Ceres, which has become the gold standard for sustainability reporting for companies around the globe. The websites are there. You can check out the information easily. And to sum up, I would just go back to what we've found to be key steps to sustainability in our organization. First and foremost is securing that organizational commitment, which sometimes is not all that easy to do. We had one hospital where it was achieved when the operating room nurses got together and came to a management meeting with bags of red bag waste, and they emptied those in front of all of the managers, and they found greeting cards, bouquets of flowers, pizza boxes, etc. And they really nailed the understanding when they put all of the things that really need to be in the red bag back into a red bag and filled it only 1/4 full. So tremendous reduction in red bag waste. Plus, they made the point that if you put this pizza box in the red bag waste, it's going to cost $470 a ton to dispose of. Whereas if you put it in the regular trash, it's $90 a ton. Well, they had the commitment they needed throughout the organization going forward. That link to mission, that what we're doing as we work to protect Earth is so integral to our mission to promote health and healing in our patients. Engaging key stakeholders. Initially, it has to be internal stakeholders. And for us, it's been supply chain, who are here in mass this morning. We welcome them. And our real estate department have been two key partners for really getting things done. Setting some goals. They can be small, they can be far-ranging, but set those goals and track and monitor your progress. Report on your progress. It's key. It's just like any other area where you set goals and you track progress, and that's how you make real impact. And then last, and but certainly not least, celebrate the successes. The small ones, the big ones. Get a big megaphone, let everybody know what you're doing, and be sure to thank people for their efforts because they work hard at this. Thank you very much. I think we'll have time for questions afterwards. Christina.
Well, Christina's getting on the slide, though. I just wanted to mention that the methane gas project was featured in the Energy Leadership Forum. I mentioned that audio conference series we had. The Premier website is premier.com/safety. And on that, our energy portal, which is called SPHERE, S-P-H-E-R-E, is on there. Just click on it. It has a section on the audio conference. You can hear about the methane gas project. There's also a number of energy case studies. One of them is the Catholic Healthcare Web case study and all they've done on energy, as well as what
Good morning, everyone. I am so excited to be addressing this group because this topic needs visibility, and it needs visibility with leaders who are concerned about the financial success of their organizations, not just those of us who have a passion around sustainability from a stewardship perspective, but those of us who also are concerned about the longevity and long-term viability of delivering healthcare in a world that's going to have a set of different circumstances for operating. And if we think about it that way, this becomes more relevant and more critical as we look forward into the coming decades. So we're talking a little bit about dollars today, and there are lots of things we can talk about with sustainability, but we wanted to focus on this idea of return on investment, where the opportunity is for organizations, because this is the hot button for most leadership, most of those in leadership in our organizations. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Cleveland Clinic's own journey. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're organizing for change, how what kinds of stakeholders are involved, and then we're going to look at some of the opportunities for action, and of course I'm going to share some results. So for those of you who don't want to know the bottom line, close your eyes because it's a spoiler alert. We've realized approximately $9 million a year in savings by approaching environmental efforts. So how do we do it? The first thing we're doing is we're approaching it from a triple bottom line perspective. Sister Susan represented that very well in her description. We use the triple bottom line, the three E's, economy, ecology, and equity. And the reason that we've chosen that particular approach is because those are systemic words. They talk about whole systems understanding. So instead of just planet, we're talking about ecology. Instead of talking about people, which people, those people, my people, your people. We're talking about equity, which is interrelationships between humans that's respectful and supportive. And then, of course, economy, rather than profit or rather than prosperity. We're talking about a healthy economy. So not just looking for success for our own organization, but looking for success for our community. Because if our community's not successful, we're not successful. So we have to understand ourselves as part of an economic system, not just striving for our own bottom line. So this is that triple bottom line concept. Now, I head up the Office for a Healthy Environment, which is a system-wide initiative that Gina did a great job of describing the scope and scale of the Cleveland Clinic's enterprise. It's no small task to work with the number of facilities that we have, very similar to Catholic Healthcare West. We are not as large, but the kind of complexity that large systems deal with is different than what you might be dealing with at a 200-bed community hospital. So it's good to understand that this is an enterprise-wide initiative. So our mission statement is up on the screen, really focusing on how we can create a healthcare system that is economically, socially, and environmentally sustainable going forward. And what that boils down to is creating and supporting healthy environments for healthy communities. Our mission at Cleveland Clinic is patients first. So if you think about environmental stewardship as a way of supporting the health of our communities, it reinforces that mission, it brings it back home, and helps our healthcare workforce connect to that, that thing that drives them, which is providing world-class, top-quality care for the communities that we serve. And we're not asking them to get passionate about polar bears. We're asking them to get passionate about the people they serve every single day. So we're organized my office is very small. It's a group of three that serves the 40,000-person enterprise. So that's a lot and a very small group. But we have enormous support and huge engagement. We literally have hundreds of people who are serving roles on green teams or functional roles within the organization. So although our little group is small, we're really just shepherds and trackers and drivers and strategists. We're really there about mobilizing our workforce to become sustainable stewards in everything that they do. So that's the Office for a Healthy Environment, and that's my team. I chair a system green team, which is made up of the chairs of each of the regional hospital and topical green teams that are across our organization. And when I say topical, I mean system resources. So our supply chain group has a green team, and that team reports up to the system green team. And our pharmacy group, and there are a few others as well, that are system-wide resources that can allow a conversation at that system green team level to replicate best practices, share ideas, work out the kinks, make sure we're not repeating mistakes, et cetera. This has been one of the primary reasons we've had very rapid success. We are new to this game. We started really in 2007, so we don't have the more than decade-long track record the Catholic Healthcare West has. And the reason we've been able to make such rapid progress is exactly because of this system we've put in place to have rapid diffusion of information and have this kind of forum for dialogue that is rich and well-supported with the right individuals who can make decisions and move things forward. But then, of course, we have external stakeholders, external to that network, too. We have our leadership. We have our employees, who I can never move fast enough for. There's always something else we can be doing, pushing harder. And that's wonderful to have the employees really driving change. But we also have suppliers, what they can do. We have our GPOs. We have external advisors in our community. A great thing that we did that I think has also helped us accelerate this change is from the very beginning we brought in all of the local sustainability groups in our service area and said, what can we do to help you meet your goals? And because we opened the door at the very beginning, we didn't know we were doing it, but we were really kind of assessing what our stakeholders wanted from us. And because of that, those groups which might normally be critics of our program are partners in what we do. And that is an amazing feat for the largest employer in the area. We're often not seen that way. So this is a positive, very, very positive part of our external relationships with our community. So there's that intangible benefit we talked about earlier. So what we actually work on, waste, energy, food, transportation, toxics, buildings, climate change, all of this, and of course supply chain, all of this is really focused on measurement. What we can measure gets done, and what gets measured and gets done gets funded. So this is we've kind of obsessed with coming up with metrics that work for us. So I'm going to come through just a couple of these and show you some of the results. Let's start with waste. There was a sort of a gap in the marketplace for effective measurement of waste in healthcare. I can tell you that when I started doing this in 2007, our organization had absolutely no idea how much waste they were generating and how much they were spending on waste. Because it's generated by over 12 departments. We have 20 different vendors. It's not like there's just one bill and you're tracking one bill to understand it. This is a complex picture of our waste profile. So we banded together with Practice Green Health and co-developed a new tool to help hospitals measure their waste impact. And this gives us visibility at large and small sites and across the organization, allows us to roll up data and get instantaneous data on exactly how we're doing with our landfill diversion rate, which is the primary metric that I get measured on. Our waste diversion rate is the thing that lands in our state of the clinic address every year since we started this. And that, I can tell you, that's some prime space for our organization, getting into the state of the clinic address. So, but it has financial impact as well. Of course, this is good news. This is good news to be recycling, increasing our recycling rate so significantly. But it also has dollar impact. Our 2007 is our baseline, and we saved approximately $70,000 just at the main campus. This is just the main campus. $70,000 over our 2000 baseline in 2008, and approximately $160,000 in 2009 over our baseline of 2007. Now, that's not huge money, but it is significant because we're doing this not because of the money. And I think if you asked anyone in our leadership, we don't do this because it saves us money. We do this because it's the right thing to do. And gee, isn't that great that we're also saving some money? But I can guarantee you I track the money every single month to make sure that we're on top of that. And should the climate change, we have a solid story to tell no matter what the priorities are. So this represents about a 14% savings. We're still doing our year-end data for 2009. I expect that number to go up. That's dollars. And our waste volumes have also reduced. This is where the real benefit comes in. This is reducing the amount of waste we generate per occupied bed per day. Now, if I'm generating less waste per day per occupied bed, I am certain that we are reducing cost. And this one we can't quite put our fingers on and put a dollar next to, but I'm certain it's there. It's implicit in this number. So this is a new metric for us that we are going to be tracking going forward. And this is a really key thing to understand, because we can, this is another part of the story that we can tell and talk about delivering efficient care, which is an important part of the future that we're all going to be facing. There's also the aspect of community benefit. A big part of our recycling comes from donation. We participate in MedWish International, which takes supplies and equipment that we can no longer use that would normally have gone to landfill, and distributes it to third world missions. In fact, last night there was a great big Haiti event where about 50 of our employees got together and helped sort materials. So this is a very active program. And we started in 2007, we upped our number to about 80,000 pounds in 2007. And in 2008 and 2009, each year we've donated over 200,000 pounds of equipment and supplies. This is system-wide in Northeast Ohio. And in 2008, we started working on furniture donation. We had a lot of furniture that was kind of, you know, past its life, past its aesthetic needs. And now it goes to families and organizations in need. Last year, we started the program. We had about 13,000 pounds. This year, I just got the metrics last night. This year, we've donated over 120,000 pounds in 2009 of furniture to organizations in need. Demolition projects are a big source of that. Instead of just throwing everything away, we bring in organizations, get them a chance to see what's there, distribute all of that material, and make a donation to our community, especially these times. If organizations need something, we don't need it. Let's get it into their hands instead of wasting it. Energy. Obviously, energy, we've talked about it a couple times today, is a really key opportunity. We started getting serious about energy in 2007. Our facilities manager and energy manager is incredibly skillful and very aggressive around energy. And we've realized a savings, peak-to-peak avoidance, of $4.3 million. That is 2 years' savings, and that represents energy efficiency projects totaling an investment of $500,000 per year. So we've invested $1 million, and we've got $4.3 out. What this slide doesn't tell you is that because of the increasing cost of energy, if we had maintained our behavior and applied the new rate to that maintained behavior, an additional $10 million in avoidance. But of course, our CFO only wants to see year-over-year actualized savings. So this is what we use, the $4.3 million. So, and that $9 million a year does not include that $10 million that I just mentioned. So we prefer to be conservative. So this is a huge opportunity. We've reduced our energy utilization per square foot by 11% in 2 years. This is enormous. I cannot overstate how important this has been to the organization. We're talking real money, because we spend $1.59 a second on energy. So this is a huge opportunity. Some of the more intangible projects are farmers markets. We have farmers markets across the enterprise. We spent about $35,000 operating and managing those. We calculated the amount of free positive press and television exposure that we got, and it was worth several hundred thousand dollars. There's opportunity in thinking about this kind of exposure and brand building as having direct financial benefit associated with it. We're looking at our own fleet, our own vehicle fleet, reducing fuel consumption, reducing maintenance costs, introducing new kinds of vehicles. We have our first electric vehicles in use in 2009. And we also offer opportunities for our employees to save. This is an employee engagement piece and helps our employees save money. We reduce the cost of parking for fuel-efficient vehicles. We give them $1,000 back if they buy a SmartWay Elite vehicle. Costs us a little bit of money, but the huge employee sort of positive impact of that can't really be calculated as a dollar figure, but we know it's significant. We're also working on creating an environment that is safer to work in, safer to work and heal. So toxicity and chemicals are a big part of that. We became latex safe. We've eliminated our recombinant bovine growth hormone from all of our dairy. We're increasing the use of microfiber mops across our system. There are lots of things that we're doing in this arena. What's interesting is that we've actually had our first documented savings from this. Now, we did have about $100,000 worth of savings on changing our cleaning chemicals over and microfiber mops, et cetera. But what's interesting is our first documented savings on workers' comp reduction, because microfiber mops are so much less heavy and so much less risk because there's less water on the floors, there's less lifting, there's less schlepping around of buckets. And that's an exciting little piece of information that we hope to expand on and share more about in the coming years. And, of course, we save on water because we're using so much less for all of these functions. So a couple of other little just grab bag of items. There's real opportunity in reusable sharps containers. We save about $250,000 a year on that. We saved a huge amount of money that I can't even display because it's such a large amount of money on changing our whole attitude towards paper destruction by saying, look, we understand the value of this paper on the market. We know how much we get from you. We know how much you're selling that for, and we know how much we're paying you to come get it. How about we talk? So that was a good opportunity for us. We save about $1 million a year on single-use device reprocessing, and that's 2008 numbers. I'm optimistic that 2009 will be significantly higher. We have a long way to go in this, but that's still real opportunity and real money that's sitting out there waiting to be taken advantage of. We've eliminated all of the pharmacy samples that, not all of them, a good chunk of the pharmacy samples that go to patients. Instead, we give them virtual pharmacy samples. This reduces waste. It reduces the amount of disposed of pharmaceuticals that aren't used. Instead of just handing patients all of the stuff that they may or may not choose to take, we give them a coupon. They go down to our retail pharmacy, and they exchange that for the sample there. So it requires a little initiative on the part of the recipient, which we feel ensures actual use of the product. And we've seen significant volume reductions in the amount of samples that we are purchasing and throwing away. They go up to the outpatient unit. They sit there forever. If they don't get handed out, then we've got a big cost on disposal of expired meds. So this is another nice innovation that I'm pretty particularly proud of. We went to reusable totes and reusable pallets for all of our material handling coming into the main campus, which is sort of half of our business is at the main campus. So we really are significantly reducing the amount of waste that comes in and out of our materials facility. And by breaking everything down and putting them into the reusable totes, we're actually capturing a much higher percentage of our cardboard. And that recycling graph that I showed earlier is largely that improvement has a lot to do with these changes in our materials handling process. By capturing the waste at the back door and putting it into a little reusable tote, we don't have all that waste going up onto the floors, which it's so hard to get that back down out to the back door. So this is a big improvement. And then fluid management. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Our organization has been doing fluid management for so long, nobody can remember when it started, and they have no idea how much they're saving because they would never do anything else, and what would you compare it to? But there are literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of opportunity in reducing waste, reducing all of those disposable vacuum canisters, and it is so much better for our OR staff. They would refuse and revolt if we ever suggested they went back to the old way of doing things. So there's real opportunity there. So the bottom line, when you look at what we've done, and there's a lot more that we're doing that has more less tangible financial impact. But if you look at just the things we talked about today, we've reduced the environmental impact of operations. We've conserved natural resources. So yay, good. We've supported local businesses. I didn't really get a chance to explain that, but we've done some amazing work in our community around that. We've enhanced our community's health by reducing their exposure to things that we don't need to be throwing away. We've improved our employee engagement. We have created a safer place to work and heal, which is, of course, one of the top goals of any healthcare organization. We've saved money for our organization, and we're saving money for our employees. And that boils down to that triple bottom line that we just started off at the very beginning. We're satisfying all of the pieces, and the only way we would get to all of these savings and these successful projects is if we are actually looking at the economy or the ecology and the equity pieces of the puzzle. If we were only looking at the economic piece, a lot of these strategies wouldn't have been explored or understood or delved into. So getting that sort of triple bottom line lens onto business decisions can open up opportunity that would not normally have been evident in the sort of routine day-to-day, this is how we do business in healthcare. So we think it's an amazing opportunity. We think there's opportunity not only for our organizations, but also for ourselves as global citizens to reduce the impact that healthcare has on creating illness, so that we can focus on creating and supporting wellness. So healthy environments for healthy communities is a great way to think about what we're trying to do, and that's the way that we talk about it. And that's it. There's my contact information, and I guess Susan and I will take questions.
I just also wanted to mention, in terms of the donations, that the Premier has a new site put up for Haiti Relief, which includes information on where to donate to organizations that we've partnered with. In addition to that, donation of medical supplies is a wonderful way to help reduce waste as well as help people in need. And Premier has a website on just donations, not related to Haiti, where we have an entire Excel spreadsheet of all the organizations across the country where you can donate. Because finding somebody to take your wheelchairs or whatever it is part of the challenge. So we research this across the country, and we have an Excel file. We have an A to Z section of our Safety Institute. You can look up D for donations and find out what's available in your area for donating. So with that, I'll open it up for questions for Susan or Christina.
Great presentations, both of you. Thank you for sharing your experience. I have a question that both of you can answer. You have done at CHW a great job on sterile reprocessing. And that's an area where Premier can sort of play a role as well. We work with Ascent, and SterileMed is one of their competitors. We're even looking at local companies that can do that for an IDN at the local level to do it as well to create some competition there. When I talk to both of those companies, they say every hospital in America has now adopted sterile reprocessing. But typically they just do it for an area like sleeves for SCD, and they don't really expand it to all the areas where they have 510K approval across categories, trocars, et cetera, et cetera. How do you take it? See, when we ask, when our RDs go in and talk to the hospitals, they say, we do sterile reprocessing, take that off the list. And they're completely sub-optimized. So to get the kind of, and what I love about it is it's your triple benefit. You get an enormous savings, you're doing the right thing for the environment, and you're not having to ask a physician to change products. You know, if they're used to the product that, and they like the product, they're trained on the product, they get to still use that product. They just use it a second time, and the company is warranted that it'll work. So how do you go from we're doing it to optimizing it? How do you get the whole organization on board? Those are ostentatious.
Sister, you better answer that one, because we've got a long way to go on optimizing.
And I'm going to get some help on this one, too. But I would initially say, Educate. Keith, what would you add?
We have a data system that allows us to measure all of the opportunities for savings, and then we establish targets, which every year there has to be incremental improvement on that target to get to 70-80%. So there is some flexibility, but it is
moving
year over year, incremental improvement on all the available.
As far as I know, CHW is the most penetrated in the country.
It is, yeah.
In that model. And so everybody, our RDs are in there saying, you need to do it. And they're saying, no, we are. Move on to another project. And we're saying, no, no, there's so much more.
Well, it's
a wonderful presentation from Breakthroughs that Denise Wolfson gave this year, last year, 2009. And I think another piece of this is getting the physicians to understand the value and the no risk, since it's an FDA-approved process. And that's been very challenging in most hospitals that just can't get on the path because the physicians say absolutely not.
Well, and the other companies that are making single-use items are counter-detailing the notion
exactly.
In the ORs and in the physician's office saying, look, we designed this for one-time use. You got to throw it away. There could be issues with patient care, et cetera. So you really need a campaign
so it is
to educate. And Ascent and the other companies warrant the product as if they manufacture.
But, one of the challenges we faced, we have a system of individual hospitals with a lot of home rule capability. And so, yes.
Oh, we don't have any of that.
So our supply chain team who's in charge of optimizing this particular aspect of our program has to go to each individual hospital and do a whole campaign at each facility. So it just takes, I believe it takes time. There needs to be, we don't have as long an experience with it, and we're seeing increases year over year. So part of it is familiarity. Part of it is proven track record. Part of it is, I had dinner with Dr. Jane and Dr. Bob, and both of them said it was great. That kind of internal networking that starts to take place that can help move things forward. I I would love to say it can be forced, and maybe CHW has found a way to force it, but for us it's a sort of an organic process that's going to take time and adoption. But there's huge we realize there's a huge financial opportunity sitting out there, plus environmental with the environmental benefits. So we're pursuing it whole hog. I would just follow on with that, because I'm not sure that the audio listeners will hear that. I think that was really important. The logistics piece of the puzzle has to be spot on for all of these programs, because it has to be easier to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing. Yeah. So we spend a lot of our time with front-end, what-if kinds of scenarios. How would this work? Stakeholder engagement. What would this be like? How would this make your life easier? What kind of compliance rates do you think your colleagues would have? Not them, because they'll always say 100%. But what kind of compliance rates do you think your teammates would have if the program looked like this? And that kind of front-end work to make sure that it is easier to do the right thing, it makes all the difference in the compliance with any program, any of these programs.
Thank you.